I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery. Prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective who is on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. If, like me, you get sad when a story comes to a close, never fear. With June's Journey, the thrill is endless, since new chapters are added weekly. And not only can you enjoy the detective adventure, but you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, it's Malls. Reminder before the show to make sure that you are subscribed in Apple Podcasts. And if you're new, welcome to Please Advise Nation. Our show only works with your participation, so call 323-450-7408 with your dilemmas and life questions. Again, that's 323-450-7408 or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thank you and enjoy. Hey, everybody. It's episode 184 of Please Advise. Christina, I was just thinking about this before. 184 is like, I don't feel like we have a lot to show for ourselves after 5 years.
I know. I was thinking about this, too, because like we've been doing this for almost 5 years. And it's just
I know.
Like,
I said to someone the other day, I was like, we're about to like hit like 200 episodes, like knowing that like we're still 20 away from that or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, like, OK, 200 episodes, that's like not bad. But like we've been doing this for 5 years. Like, I feel like we could do better. And it also doesn't feel like we've really like had long breaks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I don't know. I think it's also like our live status. Like, you know, it's one thing when this is like your main thing, but another it's like when you're trying to shove it into like one tiny piece of the week.
Or maybe it's our life status in that I'm expecting us to have like 300 episodes when in reality it's pretty good that we've done 184.
Yeah, I mean like that we've been able to do this independently. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think it's solid. I don't know.
Proud of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so our guest today is Kelly Lahey. She's back. Kelly, you were on our show last year. We found you via the internet. And if people want to go back and listen to her episode, you totally can. But basically, Kelly's like, you're 21 now, right? 25?
I am 21.
Yeah. And so she's basically like my 21-year-old internet friend in Florida. We both love Ariana Grande. I feel like I see, you know, I love the retweets you bring to my timeline. I think you bring me a lot of great retweets. And I just want to have you back on the show because it's very rare that we get to have a young person on that we really enjoy. Like, I try to bring in some of the older folks because I feel like that's what we need to hear.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just need to hear from the youth. And Kelly, absolutely, that's you today.
Especially since, like, the ones in England are, like, leading the revolution about, like, climate change right now. Did you see, like, the protests that, like, teenage girls were leading?
Yeah, and then also like, or
I was like, what was I doing? I was just like on a message board about Smallville. That's what I was doing at 16.
I know. And did you see like the protesters that were like, they were trying to like deport people, and like the protesters circled the plane and like basically like wouldn't let the plane take off, and like the British government was like, it's cool, like don't worry, like you guys.
But I love that. Did you guys see the video of that girl who, like, wouldn't sit down and let the plane leave because this man was going to get deported? And she was like, absolutely not. Like,
oh, my God, no. There are some real heroes out there. Some real heroes are stepping up.
Yeah.
That's one good thing to say. Is there's a lot of, evil-ass characters that we see out there. And then there's, like, obvious beacons of hope, like AOC. But then we also just have a lot of regular-ass citizens standing up for people. I think that's great.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Well, I mean, there's nothing, like, regular about it. Those are exceptional people that do that. But, like, that's kind of, like, averaging out the norm a little bit. That sort of makes people, I think, try harder to do the right thing when they can.
Yeah. I know. If you're getting shown up by a teenage girl, like...
Well, I feel like teenage girls have always, like, in history, have always, like, had such a huge role. Like, the braveness of a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Like, it goes back to even, like... Just, like, the Revolutionary War had, like, tons of teenage girls who were, like, champions. And there was a great story on Drunk History Season 1 that, like, actually took place in Massachusetts, or Drunk History Season 2. And Juno Temple played her. And basically, like, I grew up where the Revolutionary War, where all that shit started. And I never heard this story, which was basically about a girl that was, like, Paul Revere-ing her way through the East Coast, like, trying to get people, like, rallied for the Revolutionary War. So, like, it's pretty dope, you know? When we think about, like, Paul Revere, so famous, most famous person where I'm from, and, besides Ben Affleck, I guess. Okay, so, Kelly, like, what is new with you? Where are you working? Who are you hanging out with? I see you out clubbing. What's going on?
Yes, you know, I had my first sip of alcohol when I turned 21. I'm kidding. But been throwing it back since 16. But what's it called? Yeah, so nothing. I'm not working right now. I am in school full time. Still at the same school. I, you know, have my friend group. I like to go out. I'm actually usually bar hopping when you think I'm clubbing. But
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Bars here are just really lit. And I just feel like if I maybe didn't grow up in Miami in high school, like, I wouldn't be, like, so exhausted to be able to actually attend clubs because, like, there are a lot over here. It's like a job.
You're right. I love that, like, she has, like,
I don't have club energy, but I totally am down for a bar crawl.
I was the same way. I like clubs are, honestly, clubs are draining. It's a whole experience. I, like, completely forgot the massive difference between clubs and bars in a lot of ways because I do this. I have bar energy. I do not have club energy. It's a whole... Energy.
Yeah. I have really big bed energy, and so I stay in bed and watch Netflix.
Yeah, people have just been calling me a shut-in to my face recently, and I realize, like, that when people are just saying something in your face, like, that's when it's out of control. Like, you know, like, it'd be one thing if they were just being like, oh, like, Molly doesn't leave too much or whatever. When someone's like, oh, like, you're a shut-in. Like, it's great. I'm like, oh, Jesus. But the reality is I've seen a lot of stuff, you know, like, you're going to have to bring me out of state to get me interested.
My friend makes fun of me because I'm always like, oh, I hate clubbing. And she's like, every time you go, you're like, I had so much fun. Let me tell you what happened. But, like, you have to really get me there. Like, once I'm there, I might have fun. But, like, getting me
there,
it's going to be a mission.
It's a different getting ready process. Like, there's such anticipation. I don't know if, like, you guys are dealing with, like, bottle service and lines. But, like, all of that's – if you're in bottle service, that's a special, like, anxiety and stress. And if you're in the regular line, that's its own special hell.
No. Like, oh, my God. That's – all of it's just exhausting.
Kelly, do you wait in line?
People are always wearing sunglasses inside in Miami clubs, and, like, that's hard to look at, too. Like, it's just a lot.
Most of your night is just trying to get a drink.
Yeah.
At the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly, did you read the Justin Bieber, Hailey Baldwin cover? Girl,
so, you know, I
had
to wait.
I did.
I had to wait, too. Everyone has to wait. So you did read it, the Hailey and Justin piece?
Yeah. It was cute.
Okay. You think it's cute?
It was like, kind of cute, I guess, yeah.
I felt like there was a lot of unhealthy relationship patterns that I was seeing. I feel like he doesn't, like, know how to act as a person.
Well, like, I mean, that makes sense because, like, he has a very unconventional life.
I think that the part that really freaked me out was when he, like, I think the part that freaked me out was when he jumped up on the bed and slobbered on her like a dog and then turned back to the reporter and was like, anyway, and it's just like, That's to me, seems like your interpretation of, like, how a person would treat a loved one, and not, like, that doesn't sound fun for either party.
Yeah.
Like, someone being up in your shit and then, like, you know, putting on this display in front of a stranger, strange reporter in the hotel room you live in. I don't know, man. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to throw out the S word. But, like, I feel like there might be some personality issues there that really concern me.
Okay.
And also surrounding the way that he converses with people. I mean, he needs a mom, not a wife.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I thought the baby boo thing was pretty cute. I was like, oh, he calls her baby boo. Like, that's so, like, like, I don't want to be called baby boo, but, like, oh, cute, he says it to her, and now I'm kind of creeped out now that you put it like that. Yeah,
you know, like, I'm like, oh, he saw that in a movie and, like, he thinks that's how people treat each other or something. I don't know, that's, well, just no, I me mean, I also am always looking,
I feel like,
to,
that's
like,
how, like, Mark Zuckerberg does, like, life, and I feel like, yes, that's Justin Bieber in relationships.
Yeah, I agree. I, like,
you,
I just hope that he was,
like, that's how I asked.
I hope he was truly nice to Selena Gomez, though. Like, I know that he, like, faux worships her, like, always calls her a princess. He was always very in love with her like that, even they were broken up. But I hope at the core of it, like, it wasn't too abusive for her. I hope that they were both pretty. I hope she's okay. I love Selena Gomez. I don't want anything bad for her. Hailey Baldwin. Christina, what are your thoughts? I can tell Christina's sitting here chomping at the bit.
I was just thinking, like, you're like, he doesn't know how to be a person, and that would make sense why he, like, adheres so hard to, like, religion, because it's kind of just telling you how to be a person.
Yeah. He had no moral compass.
Instead of just, like, living life and deciding, like, who you, and also that church that he belongs to is, like,
well,
horrible.
He switched churches.
Is he not with Hillsong anymore?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's interesting, because, like, he, so he has a new guy now, but I guess Carl Lentz, the guy who ran Hillsong, he was the one who Justin got off Xanax at his house. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, switched churches. And, like, this preacher that he's with is known as a much more, like, loving approach, where Carl Lentz is known as, like, a tough love approach. Mm-hmm. And he also looks like a fuck boy. Like, yeah. Carl Lentz looks like a, do you know who I'm talking about, Callie? He looks like,
I have no idea who you're talking about.
It's like Justin Bieber's, like, yeah, the church, and Justin and his preacher is, like, basically looks like a chain smoker or something like that, which is, like, way too young for me to be running a huge religious organization.
A lot.
I love that, like, when people who are just recently in marriage, they're just like, oof. Marriage is hard. And it's like, that's literally all you hear about marriage. Like, what part of you did not internalize that before you decided to make that jump?
Honestly, like, that's what broke my heart, too. Because, like, that's, they're too early into being married to be so, like, they had a quick and it wasn't like they dated for 2 years and now they're like, marriage is work. Like, they're on month, like, four.
They're like on month four. They're like, man, marriage is work. And it's like, you should still be in the honeymoon phase. Like, what's going on? Yeah. Like,
they got engaged in July.
Yeah.
Like, they got engaged in literally July after like 2 weeks of sort of redating each other, which is like, yeah, first of all, you should be in the honeymoon phase. I really wonder what's going on. There's also like a lot of conversation around like just how they balance each other out, which sounds like it's a good idea, but I feel like they're almost applying. Yeah, I feel like they're applying that like thing of like, oh, we balance each other out to like severe codependence. Plus, all of this is taking place inside of a hotel room, which that in and of itself is like, I know, granted, it's like a huge ass suite, but like that does, that's not a permanent enough living situation for two people.
They have a home though in Canada.
In Canada. Yeah.
Honestly, my mom told me marriage is a scam, and like I believe her.
She did. What? She's like so? Oh, she is. So, but, like, in what way is it a scam?
Like how did she? Just like a, she was just like, listen, like men in general are like a scam. Like, don't fall for it. It's a scam. And yeah. I believe she's married. Like, she's doing well. You know, like whatever. But like, I feel like everyone, no matter how happy your relationship is, like it's a scam. Men are a scam. But
yeah, I actually agree with that. Like, there's a level of immediate financial entrapment. Like, you're immediately like linking yourself financially to someone in most cases. Yeah. Like,
I already have my wedding planned. Like, I'm getting married one day. Like, I have my wedding planned. Like, I'm that girl. But like, I know it's a scam.
Wait, yeah. What about your partner's input though? What about what your partner
might
want? Yeah.
No.
Honestly, like, I feel like there's a certain type of girl out there that they have to, and I think Kelly might be one of them, that has to marry someone who just knows that the plan is taken care of and their needs will be considered second.
Yeah.
It's the fucking bride's day. It is. It's the bride's day. When you have
food,
a wedding like that,
when you're, yeah,
you can
I was just thinking
the cake, the food, but like the color scheme, like all that, like that's me. That's all me.
Yeah, most men don't want to.
I was not thinking from just a pure heterosexual standpoint, but yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, even.
What happens if there's two brides? Whose day is it, Molly?
I mean, honestly, it's much more rare to see a gigantic ass lesbian wedding with 500 people. That's like a nightmare.
I don't even want to.
Like, that's
wedding.
A straight person thing.
My small wedding is going to be. Like, it's planned. Like, it's planned.
What kind of dress are you wearing?
Is it rustic? What's going on? What's the vibe?
Yeah, what's the vibe?
I mean, you know, like, I'm thinking, like, a lot of florals, lights, you know, chill outside vibes. Like,
I love that. I see that for you.
Dress type thing, not super poofy, nothing like that. Just chilling, you know? But outside.
I feel like the beach seems like a natural location for you.
You
that
know,
area?
I'm thinking more like garden-ish.
Okay, okay.
Okay, like a country garden. I like that.
Yeah, you guys are going to be invited, so like you'll see it when.
Oh my God, okay. I'm so excited. Well, in 6 years, because Kelly, you're not allowed to get married for at least 4 or 5 years. Yeah. That's like...
I'm not getting married for a minute.
Well, I could be dead by then, so... But I appreciate the thought. I really do. My love, we're going to start the episode and start listening to our calls. But just so you know, for listeners out there, we will be talking about Thank You Next at some point. We both are Ari stans. So, and I have, Kelly, I have merch coming for you. But don't worry. Ariana, literally, her ass takes 8 to 10 weeks. Like, and but I know it's gonna actually be more like 3 or 4 months. It took like
Let her
4 months.
Time.
I know. I would rather have it take like its time than come out wrong too. So I'm happy
Whatever
about that.
Works for her, you know, we're just.
I've been to her. Will you're right.
I haven't listened to it yet, so I'm very interested in your takes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Christina hasn't listened to it yet. I know.
I listen to people talk all day, so like listening to words after a while is like a little bit like my ears.
But it's
break.
Music.
Yeah.
It's
honestly
like,
it's beautiful
I
music.
To all day, I'm driving in silence.
No, I'm not one of those people, but like sometimes I just get tired of human voices.
You know what's interesting is like I will say this too. I'll just give you a category that might warm you up for this. I honestly think that this belongs to like a subgenre that falls, that starts with the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh, okay. You like, got me there. I think it's that's of, like my favorite album. That's one of my favorite albums of all time.
Me too. That's my favorite album. Like that's my top five. I have, yeah. And like for me, that's a genre starter. So I'm like, okay, that fall, anything that falls under that. Like I put Jagged Little Pill under that. Like it's a very specific growth album. And yes. Like yeah. This is, oh my God, start to finish. Oof. She made some choices. There's some club bangers in there. Like
there
Bad
are some
Idea
songs that I've heard, like the Seven Rings and the which one she does, like the whistle,
this,
the whistle.
Imagine. Yeah, yeah, you've yeah. Heard the singles.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you heard Break Up with Your Boy? Break
yeah,
Up with
I
Your
saw
Girlfriend.
The video for that too. Yeah,
yeah. That okay. I mean, I really didn't think I was gonna like that, but she. I had a thought this morning, which is like as much as I was, we'll save it till more. But yeah. Like I will say, as much as I really like was like I don't like that idea. I don't like. I realized, you know, some of the best songs in American music are about people that know they're doing something bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what? That's fucking relatable.
Yeah.
Everyone has had a crush on someone and been like, God, you yeah. Know, if you left your girlfriend, it would be on, bitch. And yeah. Like, it just feels dirty to admit that to yourself. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Kelly.
Love that song. Yeah. Like, keep that energy away for me.
There was a man. I found this old man, Kelly. You have to watch it after. I'll post it on the Please Advise thing. He's like older. He's like from a foreign country. He's like, I'm just not enticed by the idea of like, you're not entitled to anyone's girlfriend. You're entitled to anyone's boyfriend. Like he's like literally does a reaction from like the moral standpoint of like a 65-year-old man with no irony. Like I don't think he understands that like he's not supposed to take it that serious. It's fantastic. Okay. So let's take our calls, Beach. Let's do it.
Hi, Mo's, Christina, Wags, and guests. My name is Jennifer. I'm 33. I'm from London. I've been seeing a girl for about 3 months. And should I let her read my tarot? I don't know. It seems like a big deal. Thoughts, please. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, so this actually came with an email. I know it was short. So she says, hey, Malls, Christina and crew. Just left two rambling voice messages. I didn't play one of them because it was rambling. So she said, should my girlfriend read my tarot for me? I'm a person that doesn't necessarily believe in it as a way for contacting the spirit world or anything, but I do believe it is a helpful tool for folk to organize their minds, point to what's the problem. Oh, and also she uses it all the time. I'm 33, she's 30. We've been together for 3 months and it's getting seriously like only dykes can. I'm also a huge nacho expert, so give my kind regards to Sammy. Never ever seen a Lifetime movie in my own lifetime. Have a blessed day, Jen.
Oh, hi Jen. Oh my God! Well, she's
that's
talking
funny that she
about,
like watches. She doesn't watch Lifetime movies. But
a
she
lot of people
to,
yeah,
do. So
yeah,
funny.
It's so interesting. Like how many people say that they don't. Well, I have another podcast about Lifetime movies, Kelly. But
yeah, I heard
okay.
It.
So yeah, I heard it. I will say that like she's talking about someone reading her tarot. Like it's like a fluid exchange. Like they're talking
yeah.
About like going off birth control.
Yeah, like
you know,
like they're polyamorous and they're like making a fluid bond.
They're fluid bonding, and so but like the only thing I'll say is
in
like
a way that only lesbians can.
I will say to you that like you know I'm gonna let everyone else take off after this. I think that people can be very manipulative with tarot, and mm-hmm. I think that it's important to remember that the cards say what they say. And I think maybe you should have someone read your tarot before her,
yeah.
Just so that you can see what a normal experience is like. Like literally, go get a $5 reading, because it's not that deep. It's like really not that deep. And then like I think that the way that it sounds, like it's been built up. I feel like she's gonna maybe use this opportunity to try and like slide in some information or influence your brain in a way that, because it's not that big of a deal. It's like literally like I read people's angel cards on here all the time. It's not dissimilar. I've had people pull – I get messages from people all the time. Like if I say I'm going through something or if like whatever, people will be like, I just pulled some tarot for you. Like and they'll send me some cards. And like that's how not formal it is. Like that you can just do it for a stranger. So I know it's getting like deep and lesbianic, and I love that for you, but like
that's real deep.
It's it's like, oh, the lesbianicness, yeah, or the tarot-ness?
Like, it actually says like scientific studies have shown that like outside of like the relationship that most people have with their mother, like lesbians have like the closest, well, everyone like emotional knows experience.
That. Yeah. Everyone knows that, like, that's like everyone knows whatever goes on with like that is, it's very intense, right? We all know that. But like,
I actually didn't, but that is good to know. That's interesting.
How did you not know, Kelly? They move in after a week. That's like the cliche.
I always thought like it was
the
like
UP
army boys, the U-Haul. And like their girlfriends are like the most like fast, intense paced.
Oh, that's actually a good call too. I don't think that's real love though. Is that terrible? Like, I feel like when lesbians like get in, they're so in love. Like, it's like infatuation. And I think this girl's girlfriend is like kind of freaking me out.
Kelly, do you want to weigh in on this?
I mean, I've had my cards read by like this woman in Denver, and honestly, like, it was pretty spot on. Granted, like, she has no, like no dog in the fight. Like, she has no reason to manipulate, like, the cards, anything like that. But if it was someone, like, a significant other, like, say I had, like, a boyfriend or something who was like, oh, let me read your cards. And he's like, well, you know, your cards say that I need more blowjobs. Like, it can go wrong. Like,
right. And, like, also, you're like, when enough. That woman read your cards in Denver, right? Like, you weren't leading up to it like, oh, wow, like, this is sacred. Like, I don't know if I should do this. Like, I might not handle the power of the information. Like, you kind of did it, like, yeah.
I did it more for fun. My mom had gone to her and was, like, everything she said and ended up kind of being right. And, it was actually, like, really interesting. Like, she knew and, like, she didn't know, like, my last name, anything before. Like, she touched without really digging on like the topics that we talked about like the last time, and she just knew things. She just knew things, and I was so shook. She knew things about like boys I have dated. She knew things about, you know, Gainesville. She just knew things, and she gave me new perspectives on it, and I thought that was really cool. But I also can see how, like, you know, if I could fake read.
So basically, it can be like a really good experience, but it's about as serious as like getting a hair wrap at camp. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be thinking about it more than like, oh, I'm gonna get vacation braids.
It's like, no. But I feel like definitely hearing, you know, like, your girlfriend can put in what she wants from you, like subtle little things. Like, it can impact your relationship if you let it, if you take it seriously.
I just don't know why she thinks it's so serious.
It might have been just because, like, the girlfriend has really been like, this guides me every day in my intentions for the day. And it really is grounding in my intentions. So, like, I think you really would benefit from it.
I think if you take one thing from this call, girl, besides whatever Christina's going to say, it's our reaction to how not serious tarot is.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like whatever, it's like, it's literally... That is the least deep part of the call that you made to us. Like, everything else is way more interesting than tarot.
I'm going to agree with you, Molls, that, like, she should start with, like, an objective baseline reading. So, because, like, it is very much, like, up to the person. And so, like, it's kind of like when people get, like, spiritual readings, like ghost readings from someone, they're like, I'm seeing someone with a P who is very influential with you. And you just, like, run through your head of all the, like, P names that you've had in your life. And you just, like, confirm this thing that was completely, like, random. And it may not have, like, you know, it's just an educated guess that they made about someone. I don't know. I think Molls is right. Start with an objective baseline to get started. And then, you know, don't take it too seriously.
Your girlfriend also knows a lot about you and can absolutely pray to your, like, you know, I'm not saying your girlfriend's a bad manipulative person and, like, necessarily. But I will say I think it's a fucking possibility. Like, I'll throw that out there. I do think that there's a chance her intentions are not 100% pure just based on how freaked out you sound by the whole nature of tarot, or like, just like, it sounds like you're on some like love drug talking about like something that's basically not just a deck of cards.
Yeah.
And so, you know, literally, like, try a few tarot readings online. Like, tarot,
just
like,
do
as
it
long
if you
as
want to do it. Just don't if you yeah. don't. Like, it's not.
But just don't, don't trust this woman too much, okay? Like, don't believe anything she says because she knows who you are. I feel like this is about to wind up with her joining Herbalife.
Yeah, right?
Like, I think she's about to start selling Herbalife or, like, some sort of MLM. Like, this is how people get into cults.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God.
And no disrespect to anyone who, like, who's tarot.
Who's in a cult?
Who uses tarot to, like, help inform them. And it helps
no,
them, but,
not
like,
at all.
You know, everyone can choose which degree they can take the seriousness
if
of, like,
anything,
the process.
I say this with respect to those people because I know true tarot heads are not out here trying to, like, manipulate anyone or influence anyone.
Yeah.
They'll tell you it can be powerful, but also people are, you can't trust them, dog. That's some oil I have. Sorry, that smells like the devil, I think. And it's supposed to ward away the devil. Oh, my God. Interesting that this is right here for that. Okay, let's take another call.
Hi, Molly, Christina, Wags, and guest. I love you guys. I was just calling about a recent dilemma. Just to give a little bit of context, it involves my mom. We have kind of a complicated relationship history. There's, like, some alcohol, abuse stuff, not between her and I, but between her and previous husbands. And, you know, there was a lot of codependency in the relationship up until a couple years ago when I actually moved away. I moved a couple hours, got, like, some healthy distance in there. And things are great. Her and I are in a good place where, you know, we can talk, but it's not codependent. And she's in a great relationship. You know, after three not great marriages, she's finally with a guy that I adore. I'm so happy for them. They're living their best adult, non-crazy life. And I'm here for every second of it. But she recently told me that they're gonna go get married, and the plan originally had been with everybody. You know, everyone's kind of the mind that, like, this one's gonna stick, so we all want to be a part of it. But at the last minute, she kind of decided, nope, I want to do it just us. They went down south, they eloped with just some friends, and it really hurt me because out of all of the bad marriages that I've been around for, this is one I would have really liked to be at. I believe this is the love of her life, and she's so happy, and this is something I really would have loved to be a part of. You know, it's not just her marrying someone, it's me getting a stepdad. It's a blessing to get a stepdad that I adore. So, I don't know, when I first was told about it, I felt really hurt, and I'm kind of wondering, you know, is that just the old codependency rearing its head? I mean, she's a grown-ass woman, and she's done this three times with the church and the dress and the, you know, that never really fucking worked for her. So she should get married on a boat if she wants. Like, who cares? Whatever she wants to do. And I think that the mature part of my brain is like, yeah, just let her find her bliss, whatever happens. But I don't know. Do you think it's worth talking about? I mean, we've tried therapy before where, you know, I kind of let her know I had to be the parent a lot growing up. You know, I kind of, like, parented upward. And so, you know, I think that I've made a lot of strides in, like, releasing the control from that part of the relationship. But I'm kind of struggling. Should I just let it go? Should I let her know how it made me feel? Should I shut the fuck up and just be happy that she's happy? I don't know. I need some help. Please advise.
Wow. What do you guys think?
Wow. Kelly, do you want to go first?
I think it's very interesting that, you know, his name was Sharky.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. One of the ex-husband's name is Sharky. She said that in the email.
I don't know how you let someone named Sharky hurt your feelings, but I'm sorry. I think it's hard when, you know, there's been addiction and abuse and things. Like, it's not really a secret. Like, you know, my brother, he's over a year sober now. And, you know, good. Like,
we
that's
love
great.
That.
But love that for him, sober man Dan. But
sober man Dan.
No, really, that's what his name on my phone is, sober man Dan. But
that's so cute.
But I get it to a certain extent. Like, you know, I was there for all the bad times. So like when something good happens, like I'm just so excited. I'm like, yay, like finally, like you really hold on to like good moments. But at the end of the day, like it's their moment and it's not about you. And like your feelings are valid, but you can't, you know, it's her wedding. And like if she's already done the big dress, you know, the Pinterest board stuff, and it just hasn't worked out. And she's like, you know, I want to be more low key. Like, let her have that. Let it be about her and just, you know, like
she. I agree.
Let her have her moment. And, you know, like you feel how you feel and that's okay. But just realize, like, just, you know, this is her marriage. You're like, yeah, if you were living in the house and things like that, like maybe, but you said you have healthy distance. Like, he's your stepdad, but he's not raising you. So.
I agree with you. I agree that, like, you know, the first three weddings were with everyone. And I think that if your mom is doing it different this time, I'm not surprised that she did the wedding differently as well. And you said, like, you know, that the last three marriages were really hard. And I think that the key word there is marriage, because the wedding day probably was fine. And the only difference that you have here is that you didn't get to have the wedding day.
That's a great point.
And but you have the marriage and the happiness that your mom's going to have for the rest of her life. Now, I will say that, like, I think this is an emotion you can have, and I can understand, but I do think that, like, it's not, it won't serve you in the long term at all to keep this attitude about it, because like what does it matter? You missed like the vows, you know?
Yeah. There's something that I like, as a person in therapy, I keep getting reminded that like you cannot control the pain that you have for something, but you can control the suffering.
Yes.
And so like you know, it's fine that you feel a way about it, but like to continually still feel that way, it's, you need to handle that aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't think, you know, your mom did anything wrong. I think that you need to think about, you know, maybe scenarios in your life that could like lead you to wind up wanting a small, quiet wedding with just you and your significant other. I think that like, I think actually, you know, I think there's something really poetic and quite obvious about what's different with this marriage in every way. And
I didn't go to my mom's wedding.
Yeah, I would have loved not to gone to my mom's wedding.
I was at a barbecue place and she texted us like, I'm married. We're like, oh, I'm
really
eating.
Okay. And how did you feel about that? Like, were you okay with it?
I mean, you know, they were having a big wedding and we were in a dress today. And, you know, we were younger. Like, we were like, still like, no, get married to dad. And we were like, we're not going. And so we ate barbecue instead. And they got married and they're still together. So,
well,
you know,
how was that, like, barbecue?
But do you still feel, really do you still feel a way now about how that went down? Or are you like, whatever, it's fine. It was fine.
I don't regret not going. Because no one, it ended up just being, you know, them and witnesses. And I think, you know, like, they enjoyed their wedding day either way. You know, like, it wasn't overwhelming for us, like, as young kids to, like, you know, see her marry someone else. And,
that's,
you know,
scarring, that's, yeah, I can imagine.
You know, like, my dad was getting married really soon after, and, like, we had to go to that one because it was, like, a destination one. And so I feel like, you know, like, we just took a little time out. We were, you know, eating, snacking, me and my siblings, and she got married and she did her thing and she had a good wedding, like, for herself. She was happy about it. And, you know, like, the wedding day is for you, you know, like, the people, like, yes, like, you want them to enjoy themselves, but at the end of the day, like, the wedding's for you. If I want to, you know, if I want to have a big, my wedding that I have planned already, and I want it to be just me and my groom, like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, and that's what it is. And
yeah, you know, and like, I wonder how much this was with her mom, like, a wedding versus like an exchange of vows. Like, it sounds like an exchange, and it sounds like a vow exchange more
also than, like, your fourth time in. It's just kind of like,
I would be embarrassed to have a big fourth wedding.
Yeah, she might not even just think of it as that big of a deal. You know, it's just like because she's done it so many times. But I also just like want to say, like, it's one thing. It sounds like she's really self-aware of her problems, but like, it's one thing to be self-aware, but you're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, she's not giving into like she's giving into the part of her that knows that this is childish.
Yeah.
And I think that's
and just recognizing that alone is not enough.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make you a good person.
Yeah,
I would feel
like at a certain point you'd be unflattered by it. Like you would start to feel unflattered by your own feelings here. You know,
that's like one of my biggest pet peeves when people are like, "I know this about myself," like, but that's just how I am. Like I tweeted about this the other day. I was like, "It like stop. If you're aware and you do nothing, like that's worse than being not aware." And like I'm not trying to attack this girl. Like, you're valid. Your feelings are valid. But, like, switch it up.
Yeah, I agree.
Switch it up.
Time to switch it up. That's why I love Kelly. She's the best. You have such a good attitude, Kelly.
But it
sounds
like she's trying to do the work. It's just be more intentional about it, maybe. Cause,
like, yeah. It doesn't have to be overnight. It just, you know, like, as long as you're actively, like, you know what? Like, I feel this way. I'm feeling some sort of way. But you know what? Like, I know I shouldn't be feeling some sort of way about this. Like, I shouldn't be reacting negatively. Like, I should just be happy. Like, sometimes being happy for people isn't easy, but, like, you just got to kind of do it. And, like, that's a part of growing up. You don't live with your mom. I feel like if she lived with her mom and, you know, she was younger, I would be upset in a sense. Like,
sure. Of course, because it's your home environment. Yeah.
Yeah, she's 24.
Like, he's not raising her, you know? Like,
it's,
at the end of the day, who cares?
I agree with you. And, like, you know, I will tell you, I say this to be, like, easy on you, but, like, just so you know, sometimes when I'm asking someone, like, what do you think about this? Like, I'm waiting to see whether or not they go, oof, you know? Like, and you don't really always get that with us because we hear our calls off mic. And I will tell you, like, this was a little bit of, like, an oof for me. Like, I was like, this is not a good look for her. This isn't, like, you know, she should know better than to, like, basically give into this. But, like, so, like, just so you know, like, that was my reaction. But I also understand and don't fully blame you. But this is, like, an oof. This is something you need to work on sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, Kelly, so let's talk a little bit about Thank You Next, because you're going to be probably my first person that I can really get into this with.
Honestly,
I want to know from...
No one understands.
How is that possible? You're 21 years old. I feel like there's probably Arianators everywhere around
they
you.
They need to
my
get a better fan.
I know.
Yeah, they are. Okay, so,
everyone's
first of all...
Ariana, we get it. I'm like, no, you don't get it. Molly.
I don't think... I get it because, well, first of all, like, she's never been great at picking songs. I will say, like, she has some banger singles for sure, but for the most part, like, she's never been a great, like, at selecting songs. I think her taste can be really off, and we see that in everything from her jewelry to her boots.
You mean, like, A Light Is Coming wasn't really a single worthy?
I actually liked that, but that's Sweetener. So, like, I would say once we got to Sweetener, I was seeing her pick better songs. I would say, like her first two albums and even Dangerous Woman had songs on them that I just was like, that's not, I don't really relate to it. It's not a vocal feat for me, whatever. But I always knew she had an incredible voice. Then Sweetener came around. A lot of people were like, have been saying like Pharrell Williams was the worst thing never happened to Ariana Grande or that album rather. I completely disagree. I love Pharrell. I grew up on Pharrell, so I love Pharrell.
I love Pharrell. Everyone should love him.
He's so hot, and, like, he also has been around forever. He's been around, like, literally the SWV, I Will Be Right Here remix. That's him at the beginning of the song. Like, literally, that kid was fucking 18 or something when he did that. And
Kelly,
that song,
if you never heard that song, go back and listen to it. I'll send it to you in an email.
Michael
it's
Jackson,
so
I Will Be Right Here, SWV remix. It's so fucking good. It's in Free Willy. Like,
I know, that's the other thing that's wild about that song. It's from the Free Willy soundtrack.
It's from Free Willy.
It's an amazing R&B song.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it's just, like, imagine yourself falling in love with someone while you're listening
Kelly,
to that
Kelly, you're
album.
Too young for this, but, like, when I was 10 years old and Free Willy came out,
movie
like,
soundtracks were lit back
it's,
then.
It's
I
really
love
hard.
Free Willy.
Yeah, Free Willy like really switched things up. I also remember seeing The Little Mermaid for the first time in the theater, and that was the first time seeing a Disney movie where they had really like gone over the top with the animation. That's when they really switched to like that sort of like more high def, like classic Disney animation that we got to know. Yeah,
they spent months like researching how like her hair would move in underwater.
Yeah, and like that movie was fucking lit. And I remember my mom being like, we're going to go back and see it. We saw Lion King twice in one day. Like that's how important, like crazy it was when a dope ass movie came out.
Yeah.
But anyway, all this is to say that I thought Sweetener was like a peak for her. And then her life fell the fuck apart during all of this. We've talked endlessly.
At what it should have been like a career peak for her.
Yeah.
Like her personal life fell to shit.
Her personal life fell to shit, which as bad as it is, it was the best thing that could have happened for her. Like, because this album that was born from this, and I think as a person too, she's 25.
Yeah.
Like, this is 25 is like an important part of your life where you start to really grow. I hate to say that, Kelly, because I feel like that means I'm saying that the worst is yet to come, but like the most challenging stuff is yet to come.
Don't even say that. The worst. If it gets worse, I'm not interested. Oh, I would like to cancel my subscription.
Here's the thing. You get better at handling it. You get much more resilient.
That's the truth.
It's like you're just like, okay. Yeah. Anything that like would have spun me out at 19, I'm just like, okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the time you hit 30, like nothing upsets you. Like
guys,
I
was all types of spun out at 19, and I just, who's going to hurt my feelings? No one. No, so.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it's like, I mean, basically that's the worst thing that can happen to a relationship. And we've talked about this, like literally an ex that you had a messy breakup with passing away a month and a half into your engagement is like, that's havoc. Like, literally, it's worse than losing a parent, I think, in a lot of ways. Because it's like, Ghostin says it best. Because it's like, I know you're pretending not to hear me cry right now as I lay in the bed crying about this other man. Mm-hmm. You know? And like, it painted such a picture.
Oh my God, I know. Honestly, though, like, on the flip side of it, though, like, in Ghostin, at least, like, that is her most, like, vulnerable song, I think. Like,
oh, yeah.
For sure. But, like, on the flip side, like, how do you react if you have a significant other and their ex died? Like,
literally not well. Like, I would not handle it well. I actually will say I've never not respected Pete throughout all of this. I think that he's a good kid and that he deserves it. Like, he deserves a lot.
Especially when you're dealing with your own, like, mental health stuff that you're 100%. Just trying to get together. That, like, it takes a lot of effort some days to, like, to hold it together.
Yeah, it's
I mean, like, I don't even have that.
It's hard enough when two mentally ill people get together, and then it's when you throw, like, gauntlet shit at them like that, like, it's going to explode.
I understand. You know, I do feel like I hate, and I have gotten in the most heated discussion. I loved Mac Miller. I love Mac Miller. I listen to him on the regular. Like, I hate that people said that Ariana Grande is milking it. I hate it. And I hate that when she talks about Mac Miller, it's milking it. But when Pete Davidson talks about Ariana Grande, it's not milking it. He's just hurt. Like, I hate that. Like, they're both going through it. They're both working their stuff out. Like,
yeah, I think it's insane to say that she's milking it because, like, you know, not only were they together for 2 years and, like, obviously, like, a lot of people blamed her for, like, the things that were happening to him leading up to, like, the car crash in and of itself. That in and of itself is traumatic, right? And then, like, it comes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, like, she was friends with him for 8 or 9 years or something. And so,
yeah.
And then watching, as you were about to say, I think like watching being with an addict on, you know, is romantically
that
and
is
as a friend is
so
really difficult.
So hard. Like,
oh, right. I mean, you just went through it with your brother.
Yeah. And I've dated people who have had issues and it's just like, being involved in any sort of way. Like I'll talk on my brother, like, he's so open about it. Like, he'll even say, he's like, I've been horrible when I use, you know? And like, it's true. Like, it's so exhausting, and like, you can't stop them no matter what. Like, you cannot stop them. And sometimes the only way that you can really help them is by leaving them. And, you know, like, my brother, like, his last relapse was really bad. And we were like, you're on the streets. Like, we are not enabling you. We are not helping you. You go to rehab or you are homeless. And he was like, well, F you. And then he was like, you know what? Actually, this isn't working out.
Yeah, this is not a good long-term look for me.
Yeah,
and it's like, not cute.
Love and moving, like, you don't have to stay with someone because they are going through it, you know, like, even right. in any scenario, not even addiction. Like, if something traumatic has happened, like, you know, what happened to you is not your fault, but like, and like, I've been told this, but like, your healing and like, what you do about it is your responsibility. And it's no one else's to make you better. And I
agree.
I think it takes a lot more courage to like leave than people understand. But that doesn't mean that you don't care about the person.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And she said it, you know, it really like hit me when she said we talked about this time like so many times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when she about like, you know, basically waking up to this news. And I think anyone who has ever loved or cared about an addict knows that that's your biggest fear is like when the phone rings, that could be about that. And like, you know, that's just it's a terrible thing to anticipate and then to have to happen. And I will say the other thing about Mac Miller that is like especially, I would say, distressing if you're with him is that he's not running out of money. Like he's not going to use enough drugs that he's not going to be able to keep going. Like he was still like at a peak as an artist. He was like financially set. He had people around him that were enabling him. Like, you know, it's almost different when someone hits rock bottom because they have nothing. Like when, you know, if you can chalk it up to being like, oh, like she thinks she's better than this or like we love each other. But, you know, like, and I think that that's the kind of excuses that addicts make where it's like, oh, she wanted something different.
You know? Or like people who like love addicts but aren't involved in their life to make them stop. It's like they expect the person who's the significant other to like completely shove off whatever stuff they're dealing with in their own lives to like make that one person and their struggle a priority. But if you have your own mental health issues or own demons that you're dealing with, like there's a point it's where you exhausting. Have to cut it off and be like, I need to take care of myself. Like I'm not useful to you.
And there's also like some you stuff can't that I wonder. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Again, Kelly, sorry.
I was just saying you can't pour from an empty cup and like,
yep.
Like something that like I've been told like throughout like my time in like different therapies is like, you're always told like even on airplanes, like put your mask on before you put someone else's on. So
yeah.
Lord knows what was going on in her life and her relationships and just in general, like you need to at some point like be like, you know what? I can't help anyone if I'm not helped. Like,
yeah,
helping myself. And so, like, yeah. I think people want to demonize her leaving. Like, you left him at his lowest point. Like, do you think she just saw, like, oh, you're doing drugs? Peace. She was probably like, oh, well, let's try to fix this. And at a certain point, you need to have respect for yourself and just cut it off.
Yeah, I would be surprised if at any point during their relationship he had ever really been fully sober. And, like, especially knowing him as a friend. Like, you know, when someone, you know, you don't expect them to necessarily change. And I do wonder, like, what if Ari has secrets of her own, if she's got some demons of her own. But, you know, this whole thing really made me think a lot about how, like, we don't really talk about her dad and, like, her complicated relationship with her father and, like, you know, how that might have some, like, you know, some stuff in play here for her. Because, you know, her dad, I don't really know the details except that her parents got divorced when she was, like, really young, like one or two. And she had a decent relationship with her dad, but like, Joan, her mom, did, like, a lot to sort of make sure that he didn't have any, like, real custody of her. He was, like, allegedly, like, abusive or whatever, like, I don't think physically, but he was, like, a threatening type person, right? And like he started to show up more when Ariana was a teenager. And then I guess there was some sort of business deal or something that he made a betrayal like similar to like what's going on with Kanye West right now with like his cousin like charged some fashion designer like $900,000 to do a deal with him to say Kanye would play. And like it was a fake deal, but it was like run through his cousin. Like I think her dad tried to do something like that, like some sort of like put her name on something, sort of whatever. And Britney Spears' dad has been caught doing shit like that too. But like, yeah, I can't help but wonder like what her relationship with her dad is like done, because she does have a habit of like going from person to person. You know, she does have a very notorious history of overlaps, being cheated on. You know, it's interesting to me. It's interesting because like that makes me wonder that I whenever I'm listening to something, I'm always trying to read between the lines.
Yeah.
And like to a fault probably, because like this, a lot of these songs are co-written, but like the album seems so autobiographical. Like you can't help but wonder about some bigger picture stuff.
I was watching an interview and she was like, it's co-written, but basically all her friends were like, when shit went down, they were like, we're on a plane, we're on our way. And it was just like them. Apparently the whole album was written when she was like drunk, and it was just like crying therapy sessions and songs.
Yeah. Yeah. She said that Ghostin was the one. It took her like 2 weeks to write that, because she would have to take breaks in between or whatever. I'm just telling Christina, because Christina don't know shit.
I know.
Everything else on the album was written in like an hour, which is like incredible, because they're her best, most raw, honest songs. And like also sonically speaking, this album is just fucking bop after bop, like literally Bad Idea. I could see Bad Idea, God, like shaking down any gay disco in West Hollywood. Like literally,
I'll
like
let you
truly
know if it plays tonight. I'm supposed to be going out and like, and yeah, I'll let you know if I hear something.
If you hear Bad Idea.
But favorite tracks from both of you, I want to hear what your favorite tracks are.
Okay, Kelly, you go first, because I have to think.
Mine is Needy. Like I just, you know, she went in on us and herself. She just exposed the inner codependent and all of us.
I agree. I'm about to be one of those like gay guys on YouTube that's like, I like Needy, NASA, Fake Smile. Like I literally am gonna list every single song. I know.
I guess like she dropped like a snippet of Needy, and when I tell you, like, I sound like a really like creepy, crazy stan. Like I would listen to it, like, over and over, because I'm like, okay,
me too.
Like,
no, me. I used to do the same thing.
You say this like the album didn't, like this album dropped like years ago.
No, like we've been listening to these clips for like 2 months. Like Ari, like she really drags us along. Like Ari drags us along. Like, can you admit that? Like she really owns our asses. Like,
okay,
and I'm a 35-year-old woman. Like, why am I listening to this 25-year-old girl?
Apple Music didn't release it on time, and I bought Spotify Premium.
Oh, yeah.
I have Apple Music, but I needed to hear it at midnight, and so I was like, you know what, Apple Music, I'm getting Spotify. And I got it, and I paid $9 for it, and I don't regret it.
Best $9 you ever spent. I was thinking of you guys, too, because we get it at 9 p.m.,
yeah, it was
so I was like,
it popped up as a notification for me because they're like, Spotify's like, I have something
you pre-saved
you
it,
want.
Bitch. Yeah.
No, they it was like, we have something you think you would like to hear.
Yeah, I think I think
Molly's losing it right now.
Scooter Braun is up there with Kris Jenner of just people that are like high key crazy hustlers.
Yeah,
like they figured out every way. Did you see all top 20? All top 20 of the iTunes charts yesterday were Ariana songs.
No way.
Yeah. Every single
I'm
one.
Not
and thank
surprised.
Yeah.
Does she have a rock song on there?
No. Like the top 20 of the whole U.S.
Chart. The actual like single charts.
Yeah. Like, so
I thought she was owning every like genre chart. And no. I was like, wow.
No. Could you imagine her putting out a country?
Well,
no,
Beyonce put out a country single.
No.
So
please.
No, this song does like, it sounds a lot. There's a lot of Rihanna
influences. I actually
would
be into like an Ariana practicing different genre album.
Yeah, and she has a very good, like, she can do like the diva like ballad. She does an incredible like Celine Dion impression that's like as better,
oh,
as
God,
good, or maybe
and
better
Shakira
than Celine Dion. Yeah, she's incredible. Like she could
I've seen her on SNL.
But like I will say that like I will say this album was great for Rihanna fans because Rihanna has starved us for 2 years, 3 years probably. It sounded a lot. There was a lot of those influences. It was really like, I don't know. It's like dirty, by the way. It's like dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like the girlfriend, that break up with your girlfriend. Well,
yeah. And like makeup oh, yeah. How do you is feel like about the starting a nasty ass fight so your boyfriend will fuck you. Like makeup is like literally like fuck. But like honestly, I was watching. Yeah.
Can we all just admit that we relate to a lot of them? Like even makeup.
Oh, all
like,
of them.
Like we hate ourselves for it. Like I hate myself for feeling needy on the level I do. I hate myself for feeling makeup on the level I do. For break up with your boyfriend, I'm bored. Like, you know, am I gonna go dye my hair? Like, oh, and she dropped the music video. Like, okay, queen.
Yeah.
No, but like, am I gonna go dye my hair to look like your girlfriend and like try to steal you? No. Have I been like, damn, that girl's girlfriend's cute? Yes. Am I gonna do anything about it? No. But like, have I started but a like, fight with a boyfriend to, you know, like, make up? Yeah.
Because, like, break it's up fun. With your boyfriend, break up with your girlfriend and bored, it's, like, almost, like, it's less of a demand and more of, like, a prayer. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this is what I'm over here thinking. I know you're thinking this too. She's not like, I'm saying this to you, boy. Like, she's, I think they did that song very cleverly because I, right away when I saw that title, and she is a smart businesswoman, I was thinking of Cassie David. I was like, oh, if I was Cassie David and I saw that, I would absolutely want to die. But it turned out to not be about that. And she executed it in a way that I didn't feel like I'm like, oh, this is a nasty shot at another woman, you know? But I don't know. I thought it was I thought it was dope. I would say Fake Smile and Ghostin'. And then I love Bad Idea. And then I love NASA? Needy. Okay. Needy. NASA's good. I think NASA serves a really important spot that like there's never been a song about it where a girl's just like, yo, like I love you. This is not a but fight. Literally, it's just one of those days by Monica for this generation where it's like, I just want to kick it. I need space, but I love you.
So what I'm going to do is, and this is also a little bit not fair because like, I'm going to say like next time we record, I'll have listened to it. And that's 3 episodes from now.
Yeah. But, no, listen to it at home and then come in and make notes.
Yeah. I want to do that. I want to listen to it at home. I love, my favorite thing is to read like all the annotations on Rap Genius. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm going to do a deep dive on this album.
I love
and
that.
And then I'm going to present to you my
and
thoughts.
And listen to it, like, while you're reading, like, Rap Genius. Okay, Christina is going to read a letter.
Okay, so. Hi, Malls and Christina. First, I want to preface this by saying, I know this is an issue that needs continual work with some kind of therapist, and I am looking into that.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I could really use some candid advice. Basically, I'm in a nearly 4-year relationship, both women, if that's relevant, 100% relevant, that has some ongoing communication issues that I'm not quite sure how to fix. The best summary I can give is that there's a combo effect of my partner being very, very sensitive to criticism, and I really struggle with telling people things they don't want to hear. This has created a situation which has been years in the making, where when my partner does something that bothers me or hurts me, I feel helpless in terms of addressing it. What has happened in the past is I'll work up the courage to say something like, hey, this thing you really did doesn't work for me, or it hurts me in some way. And she will shut down or cry for hours, or just get so self-deprecating and ashamed of herself that I'm just like, it feels like I'm just kicking her when she's down by trying to talk about it further. In her defense, because it takes me so long to work up the mental strength to give that kind of feedback, I think I've often given it at a non-ideal time. I also find myself immediately walking back any criticism when I see her reaction because I hate putting her through it, which ultimately does neither of us any good and wastes our time and emotional energy. Like I said, this pattern has been going on for years, and now I've gotten to a point where I just withdraw and don't bring up anything that's bothering me. But at the same time, I'm definitely not the most enthusiastic partner anymore. I struggle with feeling intimate with her and generally feel tired, which probably doesn't help her sense of self or their relationship either. I find myself unhappy in this relationship lately. I love her a lot, but feel resentful and sensitive because of the things that she's done that have hurt me. not huge, but because it's all unresolved and unexpressed, the pain is magnified. What can I do to try to get back on track? Or is this relationship maybe past the point of no return? Mm. Oh, and some other background info. We're both in our early 20s, started dating in college, and this is an ongoing, this is the only long-term relationship I've ever been in. Thanks a million. Al.
I mean, can I just start out by saying that, like, it sounds like you're, like, she's the only one in the relationship allowed to have feelings, and that you guys have established that and by now. So, like, it, as long as you can come to terms with the fact that you're never going to be allowed to have feelings in this relationship that are honored and, you know, I mean, dead ass. Like,
yeah, no, it's true. Then, no, I'm laughing because it's so true. Because
she's minimizing, like, any time that you come to her, defensiveness is really difficult to begin with.
Let me tell you, it is something I am working on in therapy.
It's really hard because, like, you hit a wall and, like, I think anyone who cares about someone, their instinct is to not want to hurt them.
Yeah.
And so especially if you, like, care about someone enough to take an issue to them, because most of the time people just won't bring it up. If you care about someone enough to take an issue to them, and then they're like, their immediate reaction is like your worst fear, which is like they take it the wrong way and it becomes like a negative problem as opposed to like a potential thing that has a fix and a solution.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to do it again. And look at where you are. You're scared to bring stuff up in your own relationship. And that is a form of abuse. It is like, it's, I wouldn't, I think it's emotional abuse. I think that it's very manipulative. Like, I know that there is like a broader term that, like, I just think that you should look at like some sorts of narcissistic abuse, because I think that that definitely, whenever you go to someone and you tell them that you have a problem and then you leave feeling like you had the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that.
That's
when
narcissistic
it's like,
abuse.
Wait, what?
That's narcissistic. that's a person that can't, they would rather have you feel like that pain and deal with it and see how, because you've taught her that you will back down.
Yeah.
And take on that responsibility. I don't think that it's necessarily too late to save, but I think at the very least, you guys need a break.
There's definitely been moments where I've had, like, I'm coming because they're the ones who have the problem, and then I've, like, ended up the situation, like, apologizing for bringing up the problem in the first place, and I'm just like, wait, how did this happen?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, it happens, like, sometimes you have friends who do it, but it happens a lot in romantic relationships, especially ones that started out with, like, a lot of passion.
Yeah.
You know, because like it you very quickly become very forgiving of each other because you know, you want to move past it. And like once if a person is predisposed to doing this with their personality, once they see the weakness in you, they're going to keep going for it because why wouldn't she?
Yeah. She's gets like, I don't have to legitimize your complaints.
She gets to live the life she wants. Like, she gets a girlfriend. She doesn't have to be held responsible, really. She doesn't have to deal with your feelings. Like, you know, you're sitting here saying that, like, it sounds like you're doing all the feeling in the relationship.
Yeah.
You're so held down by your fear of her and that you can't. Yeah.
You spend so much time, like, trying to figure out a way. Like, think about all the hours of investment you've had to, like, try to come at something a different angle.
You're walking on eggshells full time. And that is you'll miss your, like, you have already spent half a decade almost in this relationship. I think you have to take a break. And I think that, like, part of that's going to involve getting to know yourself better. And part of that is going to involve meeting other people.
Yeah.
And seeing that this is not how people treat each other all the time. Because when you've been with someone for a long time who treats you badly, you will be shocked when they all of a sudden, like, you start to meet people that treat you well. You're like, whoa, what's this?
That is so true. Like,
and also, sorry. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, that's so true. Like, you don't sometimes, like, you don't realize how invalidated you are by someone until someone else validates you. So I feel like the advice for her would probably be leave her, break up with your girlfriend, we're bored. But, no one should. I feel like also if you know that someone's very sensitive, because I feel like there's a difference between being sensitive and being dismissive about someone's like coming to you with an issue.
I agree. I think you're right. I think her girlfriend sounds very insensitive. In fact, she seems insensitive to other people's feelings.
Exactly. So I'm very sensitive. Like, if I feel like, if you tell me that I hurt you, like, I'm going to be really upset by it, but I'm not going to be angry and, like, dismissive. Like, I'll acknowledge it, but, like, I'll be visibly upset, maybe, like, depending on the situation. Like, I'll feel very bad and I'll be like, oh my God, like, you know.
That's a good way to put it. When someone's angry that you were hurt, that is weird. Yeah. That's a weird, you know, reaction.
Yeah. People who are angry when you tell them that, you know, that they hurt you, they don't care.
I think, like, it's one thing, like, to say you're being petty, but it's like that thing where you're like, where you're like, come on, you're being a little bit petty. But, like, when someone comes to you and is like, hey, when you say that, it really hurts me. And they're like, well, what do you expect? Like, you think that, like, you can say this and that won't hurt me? Like, they immediately deflect and, like, or they immediately, like, try and phrase it in a way that's like, well, you taught me to treat you like that. I thought that's how you liked it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, like,
you should never. I'm so sorry. I feel like I keep interrupting. I don't mean to.
No. It's our lapse in our connection. We're like a couple seconds behind, I think, or like a second.
It's also
behind.
Just like the nature of not being able to see each other's body language.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you should never, like, I've learned to never accept an apology that is like, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. It's like, acknowledge, like, you did make me feel that way. If I made you feel that way. I messed up what I was saying. It should never be, I'm sorry if I made you feel that way. It should be, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Like, because there's no if someone's telling you that you made them feel a certain way, you made them feel a certain way. It's not like, oh, yeah, if I did that, like, God, you did do that. So acknowledge it.
Because that's not the intention, right? It's never to be like, like, an ideal response would be like, I made you feel that way and that sucks because I would never want you to feel that way. You know, like, I buy that when someone says, like, this is the, like, unfortunate part.
I think that it's great that you're like, this needs to be in therapy, but, like, she needs to be in therapy 100,000%. Like, you can do all the, like, emotional labor in therapy to, like, figure out how to deal with this situation, but nothing's going to change unless she changes.
Because I was going to say from the jump, like, when we started, like, when you started off the email, I was like, oh, this girl's a fucking defensive pain in the ass. Because, like, when someone comes in, like, maybe it was also the way that you read it, too, where you were like, I know, blah, blah, blah. Because, like, that's funny. But, like, also, like, I do think that it was probably written like that. Like, where it's like, I know what the problem is. And it's like, well, do you? Because, like, you're basically, you're defending us trying to help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you are, like, trying to tell us that, like, you've got this under control. But it sounds really unfair to you and really not in control. And, like, if I were you, like, I would approach some of your old ass friends, like, people who have known you for a long time, if you have those people in your life, and be like, yo, like, have I changed? Like, do you feel like I'm the same person? Do you feel like I have lost myself or am losing myself to this person?
Miserable all the time. Every day. For how long have I been this miserable?
Yeah. Do, like, I complain most of the time you see me?
Yeah.
You
know? And you're in your early 20s. Like, I know, especially since it's a same sex relationship with two ladies, it can feel very intense and, like, you know, you have emotionally invested in each other in a way that it may be me. A lot of people in their early 20s haven't. But, like, you can find something like that again.
All the more reason to pull out.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, and honestly, state it as a break. Like, and, you know, you might find that this person will be like, you know what? If you want to take a break from me, we're fucking over. And then, great. Then you find out who they are.
I'm going to – the other thing, I was looking through my phone for some of this call because I was looking for this very – there's a therapist that I follow on Instagram, and she posts a lot about self-defensiveness, and, like, she actually had a post this morning about it, and this morning being February 9th. So her handle is NEDRATAWWAB. I don't know how to pronounce that, but that's what her handle is. Molly, I'll send this post to you.
Okay.
But she does have a post that's like, if you're defensive, remember this. I am not under attack. What is this person saying that might have some value? I can respond after this person finishes their point. I am not always right. It's okay for people to speak their truth. Listening allows me to respond appropriately. And it's just like, I don't know, if you can't afford to go to therapy right now, or if you want to kind of prompt somebody, like, hey, this is a interesting angle to look at something. Mm. Like, you can forward, like, these kinds of Instagrammy posts from actual, like, therapists.
It sounds so dumb, but, like, that stuff does happen. Like, there's little, like, just, like, pick-me-ups that you can do just to, like, you know, they always say, like, check in on your friends, and, like, it doesn't have to be that deep. It doesn't have to be as deep as, like, hey, like, I know you're going through something. Are you okay? Like, it can literally just be like, yo, here's an Instagram. I mean, and, like, hopefully if that person's going to hurt themselves, they'll shoot a message back. Like, yeah. You know?
Like, so you can send her, like, an Instagram just being like, hey, this is a way that, like, I mean, if she's already defensive, she's going to be like, you think I'm defensive?
Oh, you know. But, like, that's exactly. I wouldn't send her that Instagram. I'd be sending yourself Instagrams. I wouldn't send her anything.
My advice for this person is honestly, like, especially because they said they're in their late 20s, like, I'm only 21. I'm really just getting into this weird part of my life. But I saw this video of this judge speaking to this woman, and, like, I send it to all my friends now whenever they have a guy problem. And, like, it's something, like, it's difficult to live by, but, like, you really need to. Like, it is not for compromising. Like, it is not for... Like, it's for learning what you want. It's for, like, 20s are for learning what you want, like, what you will put up with, what you won't put up with, like, who you are and building, like, your life and, like, someone who adds to it. And if you're constantly compromising, like, that's just not what you're going to build. And not only that, like, the easy excuse is, like, I've been with this person for so long. I've invested this time. Like, my friend Nicole, like, literally, like, if I ever have told her that, she's like, people spend years married and they get divorced. Like, you're only adding more time. You're only adding more, more to that one excuse that you're going to. So cut it off. Realize that, like, you're young. It sucks and it hurts, but, like, you will move on. You will be okay. Like, you were fine before her. You will be fine after her. And she needs help. And if you can't help her, help yourself, because she sounds very manipulative and just not a good partner.
Girl, tweet me that video, first of all. I agree. I totally agree. You cannot buy your time back. And, like, I'm not a believer in, like, oh, you wasted the best years of your life. Like, what you did is what you did, but you can stop it today. Like, yeah. And choose not to live more days like that, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
But the best you can do, girl. But call us back and let us know what you do. I really hope that you stick up for yourself, because you deserve it. And you've been through a lot, it sounds like. So, you know, not Ariana Grande a lot, but you've been through a lot.
No one has.
Okay, let's play our last call.
Hey, Maud and Christina. My name's Haley, and I just wanted to call you guys and say thank you for the advice that you gave on the first episode of 2019 to the girl who was wondering about meeting her boyfriend's kid. My parents had me when they were 19, and my dad never let me meet any of his girlfriends until I was 17 years old, and it's something about him that I really, really appreciate. He definitely wasn't perfect, but that time with him, just the two of us, is really special to me. And I just wouldn't have wanted to share that with someone temporary. Especially now that, like, I would never want my dad to be alone, and I don't want to be selfish, but he has a girlfriend now, and things are just different. I mean, I'm 24, so, like, it doesn't need to be the same. I'm an adult, but it's obviously different between the two of us. It's not as close as we used to be when she's around. So I really appreciate that, and I definitely think that that's something that girls should find admirable about that guy. And I just wanted to thank Maud for opening up as well. All right. Thanks, you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Sister Haley. That was really, really nice. I actually wound up hearing from a few of you guys about sharing on that episode, which is so just funny, because I often forget almost immediately after an episode is recorded that. So people will be like, thanks for what you shared. And I'm like, it could be anything. It could be literally like, I used baby feet.
Wait, what
this
did
week.
I say?
Like, yeah. I never know what I said. But yeah, I'm really glad I shared that, and I'm really glad that call happened. And I wouldn't be surprised if the girl who called us with that doesn't call again, because like, I would probably be afraid after eliciting a big emotional reaction from someone, you know? Yeah, I wasn't mad at her. I was just, like, heartbroken.
No, I mean, but it's, like, this is the thing that, like, people are, like, well, if you don't...
Wait, Kelly, do you even know what we're talking about? Like, some girl...
So, she wanted to meet someone's kid or something?
Yeah, it was a girl that called that she was... She's, like, 29, and she was dating a 34-year-old guy that had a young kid. And she felt like it was absurd.
6 months in, she's like, I haven't, or 6 or 4 months in, she was just like, I haven't met her. I think it's weird. Like, I want
to. He has girlfriends that the kid knows. And it's like, well, you're not his friend. Like, basically, she just was very, like, I felt very selfish.
Which is,
like, really rough. But so people, you know, you are also a child of divorce. Like, you already kind of, we touched on that this episode about how your mom, like, sort of went off and got married. Because, you know, for me, I had a single mom, too. And, like, her dating was very, meeting guys that she dated was very difficult for me. Mm-hmm. For, like, you know, and had a huge impact on me. And, like, can you speak to that? I want to say it, first of all, though, Haley, like, your dad sounds awesome. Like, that's, I think, like, he's what a role model. Like, really, honestly.
He had his priorities straight.
But did you have, like, experience with that, Kelly? Like, feeling like you met one of your parents, like, significant others too soon, or it was, like, weird and...
Yeah, or... definitely. I mean, my dad is on his third marriage right now, and, you know, I've known her for years now. And, you know, I have a stepbrother now and, like, all of that. But, I mean, you know, I didn't like my stepmom from... before this one, and like it was, you know, like sometimes, like, and you know, my mom's boyfriends before, like, I've gotten attached to them after, like, you know, there were ones that I really liked and then they break up, and it was like, you know, like, I think
that's hard. It's when you like them, it's as almost when you like them, it's as hard as when you don't, you know, yeah, because like the time, you know, that you don't, yeah. Yeah.
When you don't like them, it's like good riddance, you know? But when you do like them, it's difficult. You know, like if my stepmom now moved out, I'd be, you know, I'd be sad and like,
because in a way what's worse married, so is like
different. But
is it worse, like, to live in like
a boyfriend once that I'm sorry, what?
I was just saying, like, is it worse to live in a shitty situation and then get free of it? Or is it worse to live in, like, a really harmonious, happy situation and have it end? Like, I think that either way, that sucks, you know? But you were saying your mom dated a guy you didn't like.
Well, my mom dated a guy that I didn't like. And when he left, I was like, bye, see you, never. And my mom also has dated guys that I did like. And when they left, I was like, oh, like, I miss them. I miss their kids, you know?
Because they have children.
And it's like, you know, it's just, you have to be sensitive about it. And like, you can't feel entitled because that kid has a mother as well. And that's something that you need to keep in mind. It's not only up to him, because if I have a child with someone and they just introduce that child to every girlfriend that they have after me, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Kelly, so, you watch YouTube shit, right?
Yeah.
Are you following, like, what's going on with Trisha Paytas and Jason Nash?
Barely.
Like, she just exposed the fuck out of... Yeah, she exposed the fuck out of them and also, like, dragged the kid's mom, like, his kid's mom. And, like, I actually sort of agreed with a lot of what Trish had to say, but it was rough. And, like, I could not imagine my dad dating a woman who masturbates on Patreon for a living... And like having her, Trisha Paytas masturbates on Patreon, like for her private Patreon.
Oh, okay.
So like that's how she makes a lot of her money. And so
I don't
like
know who that is.
She's my favorite YouTube star. She's the big blonde girl that I always post pictures
like her?
Of. Oh, I love Trisha. I mean, like,
I like her in a way that
I know what's wrong with her. Like, I know everything that's wrong with her. It's not like she's just a troll. And I've also known her around the internet for like 15 years, it feels like. Like Jeffree Star, I've known on the internet for 15 years. Like, you kind of like, they're problematic people, but like they're kind of like running into someone from high school you don't talk to anymore. Like, it's like, oh, look at you. Like, what weird shit you're still up to. So, yeah, but I was just feeling bad for his kids because they're like 11 and 13 or something.
Yeah.
And like, they're going to school. And like, you know, the dad hangs out with like the vlog squad, which is like the young, cool part of the internet. So, right. Like, all these kids are probably seeing these videos. And like, yeah, that's another reason to sort of keep your relationships private. Oh, and definitely offline. I need to talk about how people need to stop. There's too many kids online. They're all online. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. And like, it's not, some of these things are going to be really like, it Drag already me, scares. Girl. Yeah. No. I'm just saying.
You mean like 8-year-olds?
No, I mean like babies. Like, I mean like literally like people posting pictures of their babies and shit like that. No, you're a fun kid on the internet. You should be on the internet. Everyone, like, you're the exact age of people that should be on the internet. But no, like, when I see, like, you know, it's really weird. I don't know if you've heard of this murder of like Chris Watts. He's a guy in Colorado that murdered his wife, but she was like a Facebook multi-level marketing person. And so there is hours and hours and hours of footage of them that's all online, pictures of their kids, Facebook videos, and like you can watch now. And so what scares me is how many like murders and future crimes and stuff, we're going to have like living family albums of these people that we can all experience retroactively. Like, I feel like I know too much about the Tate murders and like the LaBiancas and like the Helter Skelter world. And that was in the 60s, like when there was no, Christina has the saddest look on her face. Christina, like, are you okay?
It was like, hello, darkness.
I was like, come back to me, friend. Yeah, like, I literally just watched like that meme happen over you. Like, holy shit. Take that filter off. Okay. Well, anyway, Kelly, we're going to wrap this up because I feel our friend is going to come
soon.
Thank
you very much for like sharing that part of your life with our listeners. And I think it's like that raw emotion was what I was going to say is that like, you know, she might have been deterred from that raw emotion. But I think that like that display is important because they know how deep that wound is for you.
Yeah, it's a deep, it's a fucking deep wound. But like, it's also like, it doesn't, you know, it's not always like, it's something that's there.
Yeah.
You know, like it's sometimes it's funny.
Honestly, I'm definitely not scarred by my parents' divorce or anything like that. Like, thank God they're divorced. But like, honestly, yeah. I mean, I'm keeping my kids away. Like, if I, God forbid, I'm, you know, not with their dad.
It might not be
like,
that deep, but
like
it's that.
That
serious.
Yeah. I'm going to be the godmother of your children. Yeah. Yeah, well, I can't wait to come to the christening and everything like that for your kids, whatever it is you do, the bris.
the bris.
I am. When Kelly gets her child circumcised, I will be in Florida. Okay, you guys, thank you so much. Kelly, I love you so much. You're my favorite 21-year-old from the internet. I adore you. I want, let's like do more of Kelly coming back on. And like, I want to add like a Patreon for Please Advise or something where maybe we can just do like a 5-minute chat with Kelly once in a while and like, you know, check in with some Greg the Reg.
Honestly, so I had messages from people that like reached out to me and it made me feel so good. I was like so happy. I was like, whenever you guys want me on, I'm here.
Please Advise Nation lives for you. We love you.
People were like sliding into your DMs.
Yes, I found the message today, like the sweetest message from this woman. And she was like, I had a similar experience to you when I was 17. And like, just listening to you is so healing. And like all this stuff, like I had people like, just like the nicest reactions from like women. And I was just like, you guys are lovely. And I just liked it. It was really nice.
Please Advise Nation, we've got you, girl. Please Advise Nation, we have your back. And like, guys, we'll link Kelly's first episode if you guys haven't heard it, just so that like it'll there's more context to how we met this 21-year-old girl in Florida. But yeah, it's a great episode. And keep reaching out to Kelly. She's the best, but also protect her. Protect her at all costs. Kelly, we love you so much. We're going to link all your social medias and stuff like that. Make sure, you know, you keep an eye out for creeps and perverts and sex trafficking. I don't like it. I've been reading a lot about sex trafficking. Well, I didn't know. It's mean, I knew, but there's a lot of sex trafficking.
It's happening in plain sight.
Yeah. You could any moment. And how many times? Do you know how many times I probably was almost sex trafficked and I have no idea because I'm clueless? Okay, you know, well, I think about that
house anymore. I think
don't. Yeah, that's actually probably smart. Be like Miley Cyrus and make a club room in your house. Okay,
that's stay out of trouble.
It's literally brilliant. I know, I know. We'll make a bar in your house. I love you so much. if we ever like are in the same state, it would be so magical. And yes. I can't wait to talk to you more soon. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for having me on.
Of course, honey. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.